Good morning and welcome into the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that your Tuesday is a good one so far. And that is if it's still Tuesday when you're listening. If you're listening to the podcast, you could be listening at a different time. I try to be time sensitive. After all, that is one thing I like to be politically correct about, is time. Good morning. It's good to have you in today. Thanks for joining in on the fun, and I hope you're having a fantastic day. And speaking of the day, there's a lot to talk about and not a lot of time, so we're going to dive in as quickly as we can, being that this will be the last podcast for, I would say, at least 2 weeks. So be prepared. Got a couple of weeks. I'll be out of pocket because of knee surgery and this, that, and the other thing. But I'll be in touch on social media, so you can find me there at The Daily Perspective on Twitter and The Daily Perspective page on Facebook and the Mark and Mac Show page on Facebook as well. Let me encourage you, if you've been following on the Mark and Mac Show page, go ahead and follow on the Daily Perspective page as well, because at some point, probably when I come back from this, the knee surgery thing, we're probably going to shift the Facebook feed, the Facebook live feed, over to the Daily Perspective page, just to keep everything under the same banner, so to speak. All right? All right. Well, the crazy clown car things in the clown car are shaking up. Things are changing on the seating arrangement in the clown car. God love them, the Democrats. There's so many of them, you can't keep track of them. Program, get your program here. You don't know your players without a program. The Democrats are having a bit of a shakeup today. Yesterday, 2020 presidential candidate Eric Swalwell announced he's dropping out of the presidential race at a press conference in California. The California representative began his presidential bid 3 months ago. He was one of 24 main Democrat candidates. During his campaign, Swalwell struggled to gain traction, and his poll numbers have peaked, I say, at 1%. 1%. He's the first major Democrat candidate to drop out of the race. He says, "Today ends our presidential campaign, but it is the beginning of an opportunity in Congress with a new perspective shaped by the lives that have touched mine and our campaign through these last 3 months to bring that promise of America to all Americans." He's implying that the promise of America isn't valid for all Americans. It is if you're a legal American. All right, five of Swalwell's 4th of July events were canceled in New Hampshire last week, which encouraged rumors he would be dropping out. Swalwell has been vocal about gun control throughout his campaign. His gun plan includes banning and buying back semi-automatic weapons, investing in Hope for Our Neighbors, and more, according to his campaign website. He said during his press conference yesterday, "We move the needle on the debate stage on an issue that I'm very passionate about, believing that every candidate should pledge that they would support a ban and buyback of the 15 million assault weapons in our country. And the one opportunity I had to do that, our three front runners that were on the stage with me, Vice President Biden, Senators Sanders and Harris, all three said they supported it. So we've achieved that." Swalwell qualified for the first 2020 Democratic debate in June led the charge in attacks on former Vice President Joe Biden regarding issues of his past. Swalwell called out Biden on his age, saying it was time to pass the torch. Well, he'll now have to officially decide whether to seek re-election for his seat in the 15th Congressional District. Aisha Wahab, a Hayward City Council member, announced her bid to replace Swalwell last April. Wahab has not decided if she will continue this campaign if Swalwell returns. No other Democratic candidate who made the cut for the first debates has dropped out yet. Swalwell has been teetering just outside of qualifying for the second Democratic debates in July. Well, that's what they reported. Anyway, he's dropped out of the race. He's slipped to the ditch. He has been ejected from the clown bus. And you know what? Good thing, too. Because he is severely and deeply disconnected from America. When all he can see is the need to create criminals out of Americans and to give benefits to illegals, then he doesn't need to represent us in the highest office in the land. He firmly believes that everyone who owns a semi-automatic weapon is a danger to America. Here's a little newsflash. If you own a firearm, if you own a gun, the odds are very high that it is a semi-automatic. It's probably a pistol, and it's probably semi-automatic. That's what the stats say. He didn't just want to ban, quote, assault weapons. By the way, there are no assault weapons in American hands unless they were purchased a long time ago, because the laws don't allow for that. An assault weapon is a weapon that will fire in full auto, and you can't buy one of those. Not unless you've got a lot of money to pay the taxes on it, and you're never going to be able to fire it anywhere without the proper paperwork. Just do a little research. You'll find out that's true. He is one of these people who equates gun ownership with criminality. That if you're a gun owner, at some point you're unbalanced. You're unbalanced. So at some point you're going to crack and start killing people, when there is absolutely zero evidence to support that. But that's what he believes. So Swalwell is gone and good riddance. That's all I can say about that. It's about time that he got out of the race. But someone getting into the race, that would be, no, it wouldn't be Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter. It would be, come on, you know who it is. He has stepped in. It's billionaire Tom Steyer. Billionaire Tom Steyer, like I said, not to be confused with Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter. No, it's Tom Steyer. He's the guy who has just decided he's stepping in, and he'll probably announce today. It's just one crazy thing after another. Just because, you know, the clown car is so crammed full of people they can't breathe now. So another one's going to step in to replace the one that just stepped out. Maybe because they're used to the BO by now. I don't know. But billionaire leftist Tom Steyer is about to step in to the race. And we should hear about it today, because The Atlantic magazine says this: the billionaire investor Tom Steyer, who in the past decade has been both the top Democratic donor in the country and the prime engine for pushing for the impeachment of President Donald Trump, appears ready to become Democratic candidate number 26. Last week in San Francisco, Steyer told staffers at two progressive organizations that he funds Need to Impeach and Next Gen America. You know, that ought to tell you something right there. Need to impeach. Good Lord. Need to impeach. And Next Gen America, that he is launching a 2020 campaign and that he plans to make the formal announcements this Tuesday. Steyer, as you probably know, is vehemently anti-gun. He's pro-tax, obsessed with global warming, possessed of a feverish hatred for Donald Trump. He also has very deep pockets. In 2016 alone, he squandered almost $90 million supporting Democratic failures, including Hillary Clinton. He then spent the following 2 years broadcasting his rage on Twitter while burning $20 million in a so far impotent effort to impeach the president. To say he's singularly focused on pushing Trump out of the White House would be like saying the coyote is singularly focused on the Roadrunner. Just the other night, as Trump's approval rating hit the highest point of his presidency, Steyer tweeted a response to an op-ed about the trade war with China, saying, "Trump has no strategy. He has an attitude. Belligerence. It's no surprise that he's failing." What's interesting about that tweet is that it was followed by a litany of requests from dozens of Democrats, which begged him not to enter the race. they'd prefer he just kept writing checks, since they allegedly already have enough talent. More to the point, they're tired of old white guys. And it's true. Tweet after tweet after tweet. Let me see here. Let me find one. Okay, here's one. Don't run for president, Dom Steyer, unless you're doing it as a Republican. We have plenty of talent on the Democratic side. Spend your money helping us take back the Senate and state houses. Another one says, we do not want you, Tom Steyer. That's what you want your legacy to be? Helped reelect Trump? Think about it. You're not wanted here. If you love America, as you claim, you will stay away from this race. And another one says, we appreciate your voice about stopping Trump, but sorry, we don't want any more old, rich, white guys. And there you see the attitude of the Democrat base. The Atlantic report points out, we've been down this road with Steyer before. He has infamously teased presidential runs in the past, only to flake out at the last second. It's entirely possible that could happen again. The last time it was because he felt Elizabeth Warren had his agenda covered. Warren is still running. So one must wonder what has changed. If he's really going to jump in, either Steyer is no longer a Pocahontas fan, or he has correctly surmised that she'll get hammered in the general election. Perhaps he's going to be yet another high-profile Dem whose actual goal is to sniff around for the VP slot. Whatever his rationale, we'll hear about it probably sometime later today. So, another clown is stepping into the clown car where Swalwell stepped out. This guy, when you look at his passion, his hatred for Donald Trump, you look at his passion against guns, you look at his views on immigration, you realize he is just an extremely wealthy version of the nuts who are already running. And I can't help but think he believes that it's because he is wealthy, he's a billionaire, that he has the chance. Well, legally speaking, there's only so much money he can actually throw at the campaign. He's restricted by the same laws that restrict Donald Trump. It all has to be handled in a legal manner through campaign channels. He has to accept contributions. He has to have, if he gets that far, well, he has to have his party's support. They have to fund things. The channeling of money goes through their hands. As has been pointed out many times, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, the GOP and the, excuse me, and the Democrats, they're private entities. They're not government agencies. What they do is they campaign and they politic and they get people elected. So Steyer's election fund would have to come through the Democrat Party. Not sure how he would manage to funnel money that direction, but considering what we've seen Democrats do in the past, I'm fairly confident he'd be able to, in some way, fund himself. So there's one more clown in the clown car. There's one less clown in the clown car. It's just the clown shuffle. That's what it is. It's the clown car shuffle. So it'll be interesting later today to see if he actually does announce. He's told some people. He's made it clear to some people in the last week or so that that's what he plans to do. But we'll just have to wait and see. Will he? Won't he? We don't know. We'll just have to wait and find out. It's early yet. It's very early yet. We're so far away from things actually beginning to matter that when you hear people talking about polling, when you hear about candidates entering and leaving the race, at this point in time, it's really not making that much of a difference. When it will make a difference is actually next year, as we watch the race heat up, as the real candidates are chosen, that's when things really start getting interesting. Right now, it's more or less just entertainment. That is, if you're level-headed and honest, it's entertainment. Because these people are making promises, they're making accusations, they're pointing fingers, they're assuring the American public that if they're elected, they'll do these things. In politics, it's if I'm elected, this is what I'll do. In the fairy tales, it's once upon a time. And right now, pretty much everything's a fairy tale. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It is the Tuesday edition of the podcast. And as I mentioned earlier, the final one for at least a couple of weeks. And I wish I could tell you exactly when I'll be back, but that really does depend on it depends on how things pan out after the knee surgery. I've talked about this again and again. I don't really need to get into the details of it. It all just comes down to scheduling for rehab appointments and such as that. It depends on where I have to be and when. That'll dictate what I can do here at the studio. So that's where we are with that. Let's see. Where are we? Is there any other housekeeping I need to take care of? I don't think so. It's been the last few days have been around the house have been kind of crazy. The around our house, I should say. I've been trying to get everything situated for going in for surgery and getting packed. And on my personal Facebook page yesterday, I posted about the packing process. And then I realized, wait a minute, people are going to wonder, why are you packing? It's because I'll actually be at in-house rehab for several days afterwards. And, you know, you want to change your clothes every day. So there's a little, you know, just something. I've got exercise gear, warm-ups, things like that. I'll be, you know, I'm packing stuff, making sure I've got everything together. And also making sure that everything around the house is situated for when I get back home again. And that's, you know, making sure that I've got everything like where I don't have to go up and down stairs at the beginning to get to things. Like yesterday afternoon, I spent some time getting the recumbent bike, the exercise bike upstairs so that I could actually stay upstairs and use that for exercising my knee, keeping my knees flexible. During recovery, during rehab. And by the way, that wasn't fun. In case you think it's fun to drag one of those things up a flight of stairs, you're wrong. It's not. Yeah, but that's what's been happening. And it just the, you know, the scratching the head, going through the checklist. Is this right? Do I have that? Well, we'll see. We'll find out. I'll go back through everything today and hopefully I'll know. And also, by the way, while I'm out of pocket as far as the podcast is concerned, I'll still be on social media. I'll be on Facebook and tweeting and things like that. So stick around. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just not coming in here into the studio because it's a scheduling thing. And if I figure out a way to make it happen that's actually feasible, as far as your podcast, if you're a podcast listener, I could actually do a show pretty much every day because it doesn't matter when I record because you're just going to get it whenever it uploads, right? But if you have been part of the Facebook Live audience, that means that I'll be the schedule will be just dancing all over the place. It'll just be hopping from place to place, and it makes it really hard to know when to make yourself available to catch the live feed. And that's the big thing. We'll look into it. We'll make sure everything is like it should be as we can. Okay, let's see. Moving along. Well, everybody's familiar with the fact that Jeffrey Epstein has entered the race. Jeffrey Epstein has he's in court now. He's facing trouble. And I'm looking here for something that I thought I prepared and I didn't. And please, let's not confuse Jeffrey Epstein with Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter, because he's not the same guy. I just want you to know that. Epstein is not the same guy from, it's not this guy. It's not Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Kotter. It's somebody totally different. You just need to know that, okay? It just crossed my mind. And the reason I'm stumbling through this is because I'm having a technical issue. Believe it or not, I'm having a technical issue, and I'm trying to sort that thing out. It's like okay, here's the thing. It's putting. Hang on a second. Let me get back where I was here and click that and turn that off. And then turn this back on over here. So, okay, now I can show you. All right, now, Robert Hedges, I mentioned him, Epstein. I put his name in on this particular, if you're watching the live feed, this is, for you guys on the podcast, please disregard the next few seconds. Because I put his name, see on the bottom there, that's called a lower third. I put his name, his title, bing, in the titles. There he is, Robert Hedges. Well, guess what? His name also popped up on Eric Swalwell. For some reason, the Switcher program decided everybody should be named Robert Hedges. Not just this guy, but also it was, where was it? It was also here on Tom Steyer. It's on, wait a minute. It's on this, something I thought, well, I'm going to get to later. It's on this. It's on Swalwell. It's on freaking everything. And I think I know why, but it comes down to operational error. Yes, I'm stupid. That's what it comes down to. Anyway, oh gosh. Well, following the Saturday evening arrest of politically connected billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, or Epstein, you pick your pronunciation, on charges of sex trafficking underage victims, Christine Pelosi. This is one of the daughters of Nancy Pelosi. Yes, she has children. Be afraid. Warned that it is quite likely that some of our faves are implicated, she says, in Epstein's case. Unsealed court documents reveal that 66-year-old Epstein was charged Monday with sex trafficking and sex trafficking conspiracy. Jeffrey Berman, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, said during a Monday press conference that agents searching the Epstein's New York mansion seized evidence, including nude photographs of what appear to be underage girls. Quote, "This case is horrific, and the young women deserve justice." Pelosi, a Democratic National Committee official and daughter of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, tweeted. She goes on to say, "It is quite likely that some of our faves are implicated, but we must follow the facts and let the chips fall where they may, whether on Republicans or Democrats." Do you think she knows something? I think she knows something. Former President Bill Clinton and President Donald Trump are just two of the high-profile figures known to have associated with the hedge fund manager in the past. Records obtained by Fox News in 2016 showed that Clinton took at least 26 trips aboard Epstein's private jet, which the media has nicknamed the Lolita Express. By the way, in a statement issued by Clinton, I think he said he only flew with Epstein 4 times. But the pilot's records show he took 26 times and ditched Secret Service many times. In 2002, Trump, who has also reportedly flown on Epstein's jet, reportedly, allegedly, told New York Magazine that the mysterious financier was a terrific guy. Quote, "He's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. No doubt about it, Jeffrey enjoys his social life." I'm going to come back to this in a moment, okay? Bradley Edwards, an attorney for one of Epstein's accusers, said in 2018 that Trump was particularly cooperative when Edwards was contacting individuals connected to Epstein in building his client's case. He was. He actually sat down and talked with them. He told them, "I got all the time in the world. Let's just talk. I'll tell you whatever you need to know." What you don't know, and what none of these people are saying, by the way, is that that happened, and that when Trump found out Epstein propositioned an underaged girl at Mar-a-Lago, he had him ejected and banned him from the place. So they're trying to tie Trump back to Epstein. But Trump broke ties with Epstein after he said this about him being a fun guy to be with. According to Edwards, Trump was the only person who picked up the phone and said, hey, let's talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. Edwards added that Trump gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information. As Pelosi alluded to in her tweet, Epstein's case has been viewed by some as an indictment of the sort of wealth and privilege protested by proponents of the Me Too movement. Police have been investigating Epstein's conduct for more than a decade. A probable cause complaint urging Epstein be charged with unlawful sex with minors was filed by Palm Beach Police in 2006. The complaint led a grand jury to indict him on solicitation of prostitution charges, to which Epstein pleaded not guilty. Epstein eventually agreed to plead guilty to two charges of felony prostitution that would see him serve 13 months of an 18-month prison term and register as a sex offender. He was also released to work in his office during the day for 6 days a week. And so now, things are heating up for Jeffrey Epstein. Will this result in anything substantial for him? That remains to be seen. Will this implicate Bill Clinton? That remains to be seen. If I were to place a bet on this, I would say Epstein may end up becoming the fall guy, but that powerful people will do everything they can to protect the Clintons. That powerful people will do everything they can, possibly up to the point where they realize that they have to make him the sacrificial lamb and let him go. We have to wait to see how things pan out, how things play out. We'll see. We will see. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. This portion of the Daily Perspective being brought to you by the Daily Perspective newsletter. Yes, I'm sponsoring myself. The Daily Perspective newsletter is the show in your inbox. You get all of the notes from each morning's podcast, all of the references, all of the links. You get it's all right there. All right there in your inbox each and every day, which gives you the ability to actually read the articles that I refer to for yourself, to jump off into other articles from the links within these articles, and to do further research and to make yourself a truly informed person when it comes to the events of the day. So, get subscribed today. It's really easy. Just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Look in the right-hand column. There's a sign-up form right there. Just fill it in, answer yes to the email you get, and you'll be on board. You can also sign up on the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page and the Daily Perspective Facebook page. There's a sign up now button up at the top. Just click that and fill out the form. Okie doke, okie doke. And yes, you did hear my phone ring right before the break. It's funny, I mute this thing every time I come in the studio, and then I forget that it also, since I'm an Apple user, a Mac user, my phone also rings on every other Mac device or Apple device I own. So it rang through on my iPad, and my iPad is hooked up so I can run sound effects and thank you very much. And it also runs through the computer. And the computer, I've also got the computer set up so that I can also run oddball things through the computer as well. So there's, you know, like, yeah, that's on the computer. So I've got that all. And if any of those happens to be up on the control console, then you get to hear it. And that's what happened there. But that was the surgeon's office confirming the appointment time for tomorrow morning. So now I know I check in. Not, I thought it was going to be 5 a.m. That's what the notes online said, but it's like I check in at 8:30. So a bit better for little old me tomorrow morning. All righty. Okay, let's move along. Moving forward, We were just talking in the last story about Nancy Pelosi's daughter. That would be Christine Pelosi. And I'll be honest with you. I know I have heard in the past that Nancy Pelosi had daughters. And I know somewhere along the line, I knew that one of them was involved. At least one of them was involved with the DNC. Well, that's Christine Pelosi. Well, Nancy Pelosi, that is Christine's mom. There she is. She criticized President Donald Trump's efforts to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census. And she did so by implying that he has racist motivations. That's according to The Hill. She said, this is about keeping, you know, his hat, Make America White Again. That's what she said yesterday. Quote, they want to make sure that people, certain people, are counted. It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. What they want to do is put a chilling effect so certain populations will not answer the form. Wow, yeah, that's disgusting. And I agree with you. It's nasty. But that's Aunt Nancy. The Trump administration wants to add a question on the census form asking respondents whether they are citizens of the United States. In June, the Supreme Court rejected the administration's argument that the question was necessary to enforce a federal voting rights law. Now, President Trump, oh, by the way, the Supreme Court rejected it, not based on the actual argument itself, but more or less how it was presented. Well, now, President Trump is considering getting the question on the census by way of executive order, and the Justice Department is examining its options for including the question after the Supreme Court's decision. After officials initially said they would not pursue the question further. William Barr, by the way, has said there is a path to make that happen. Democrats oppose the citizenship questions, claiming that its inclusion will cause non-citizens to not participate in the census, and accusing Republicans of trying to undercount minorities to create more favorable legislative districts. Conversely, Republicans have accused Democrats of wanting to benefit from higher census counts that could include illegal immigrants as well as legal non-citizens. Attorney General William Barr told the Associated Press he believes the Trump administration can legally add the question to the census. He said, I agree with him that the Supreme Court decision was wrong. He asserts the situation presents an opportunity potentially to cure the lack of clarity that was the problem, and we might as well take a shot at doing that. I don't know if you're aware or not, but this question was on the census up until the Obama administration. It's been asked in every census for the last 100 years or so, except during the Obama administration. It was stricken by the Obama administration. Why? The fundamental transformation of the United States of America. That's why. Because when you strike that question from the census, then you allow people to respond to the census and be counted among the population in states across America, which changes the representation in those states at the national level. It empowers Democrats to have more representation in our Congress. And that's what's going on. These people want illegals counted because they just want numbers, sheer numbers. It's just exactly, it is exactly what we faced back during slavery days, when Democrats wanted every slave, even though they didn't consider the slaves to be human beings, they wanted every slave counted so that they could have representation in Congress and continue voting for things that would continue slavery and empowering slavery in America. It's the same situation. To claim otherwise is to be disingenuous. It's to be dishonest. Because this is what Democrats always want. They want power and control. And when you see Nancy Pelosi say, this is about keeping, you know, his hat, make America white again. They want to make sure certain people are counted. It's really disgraceful. And it's not what our founders had in mind. She's saying that Trump only wants white people counted in the census. She's making this about race. Because nothing else has worked. So she is playing the race card. It's vile. It's nasty. But that's the left. It's how they play the political game. It's always nasty. Even when they are dealing with their own. Because, God love him, former VP Joe Biden, he's having a hard time. Good old Joe. You remember when he threw his hat into the ring? Remember what I said? I said, I don't think he's going to last through the campaign because he's either going to go off script and shoot himself in the foot, or he'll have a lot of trouble keeping his hands off of women and children. Well, they've tried so many different ways to undermine him. They won't let him touching women become an issue because if they do that, they know they have so many more things, so many more people in their party that are going to have issues. So that's off the table. They're going to defend him there. If he were a Republican, they'd be all over him for that, but no. And they're trying all kinds of things. They've tried all manner of things. And now, I mean, they're talking about age. He's too old. But the latest has been the race card. They're trying to make him out to be a racist. And it's really despicable. They're twisting his words. Now, I don't think Joe is a viable candidate. I really don't. Because of his views. But I kind of feel sorry for the guy because of what they're trying to do to him. Well, there's an article by Stephen Green on PJ Media, and it's called Joe Biden and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Week. Here's what it says. Well, we'll get started on it anyway. Still reeling from the drubbing Kamala Harris gave him on race, busing, and desegregation at the first set of Democratic presidential debates, Joe Biden Friday tried to put a stop to the slide with a not-so-veiled warning to his rivals that he's got plenty of dirt on them. In an interview on CNN, the former Veep said, I get all this information about other people's pasts and what they've done and not done, and you know, I'm just not going to go there. If we keep doing that, I mean, we should be debating what we do from here. The message, you better be nice to me, or I'll stop being nice to you. It didn't do him a lot of good. Just a day later, he was forced to make a special trip to South Carolina to apologize for the positive comments he'd made about working with segregationist senators. UPI reported Biden saying, quote, now, Was I wrong a few weeks ago to somehow give the impression to people that I was praising those men who I successfully opposed time and again? Yes, I was. I'll regret it. I regret it. I'm sorry for any of the pain or misconception that I caused anybody. Well, there's more to this. We'll get to it after the break. But honest people, right-thinking, rational, reasonable people, didn't think he was endorsing these people, the views of these people. He was talking about his ability to work with people he disagreed with. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Where were we? Oh, Creepy Uncle Joe. That's right. I was enjoying my snack cookie and my cup of coffee. Now we have to go back to this again. Well, The story continues. Joe Biden said, "I'm going to let my record stand for itself and not be distorted or smeared," he said, not directly referring to Kamala Harris. He also cited his time, working with President Barack Obama and disagreements they had over issues such as the three strikes sentencing policy. He said, "I'm flawed and imperfect like everyone else. I've made the best decision that I could at the moment they had to be made." He said, "If the choice is between doing nothing and acting, I've chosen to act." Well, naturally, President Donald Trump had a little Twitter fun with Biden's predicament. He tweeted, "Sleepy Joe Biden just admitted he worked with segregationists and separately has already been very plain about the fact that he will be substantially raising everyone's taxes if he becomes president. Ridiculously, all Democrats want to substantially raise taxes." Kamala Harris, for her part, isn't quite ready to let it go. She told reporters in Hartsville, South Carolina, that Biden is right to recognize the impact of his words, and I applaud him for doing that. But there's still a point of disagreement between he and I, and that remains, which is the issue of busing. Harris's less than total forgiveness comes alongside news of last quarter's fundraising totals, which at $12 million leaves her far behind some of her competitors. It's wise to make busing an issue. Is it wise to make busing an issue again when it remains overwhelmingly unpopular with the general election voters? Probably not. But it's generating plenty of heat for Harris. It looks like Harris might have found an issue that resonates with the Democratic primary voters. It took a week of getting slagged in the press, a week where Biden couldn't talk about much else, before he finally admitted defeat and made a major apology speech. That's a week of lost campaigning, topped off with the embarrassment of caving to his competitor. For Biden then to have Harris partly reject his apology adds even more embarrassment. Washington Post's Aaron Blake reported on what might be the most embarrassing detail following Biden's awkward interview with Chris Cuomo. He said, "Biden's answer is a bit confusing, but he seems to suggest that he wasn't exactly expecting Harris to come after him because of their personal connections." He alluded to this earlier, too. He even invokes his late son, Beau, and the fact that Beau and Harris knew each other when both served as state attorneys general, Beau Biden in Delaware and Harris in California. The implication, though, Biden never really finishes the point, seems to be that this was someone Biden couldn't have expected would ever do this to him. Poor Joe. By his own words, he doesn't seem to think he was going to have to actually fight for the nomination. What that says about his fitness, his readiness to be president, you decide. And besides, it's a long road from here to the nomination. But we should be reminded a bit of Barack Obama's one big stumble during his battle with Hillary Clinton in 2008, when it was revealed that the Obamas had spent 20 years listening without protest to the sometimes anti-American diatribes of Reverend Jeremiah Wright. It set the young candidate back on his heels. Rather than, beg forgiveness from a mostly white crowd, Obama went on the rhetorical offensive. His March speech on race was praised by even some of his adversaries and effectively neutered the issue for the rest of the campaign. But Biden isn't a young black man who might be forgiven for attending a black church where the sermons could get a little radical. He's an old white guy who worked with even older white guys who happened to be segregationists on an issue involving segregation. Plus, it needn't be said, Biden hardly shares Obama's rhetorical skills. Harris drew blood last week, and she's only one of a wide field of mid-tier candidates looking for ways to make the front-runner bleed. Biden, by his own admission, wasn't ready for the first attack. Will he be ready for the next one? Or is his very bad week about to become a very bad season? I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning. Joe Biden, I don't think, is going to make it through this process. I just don't. I think he's going to end up washing out at some point. Whether he washes himself out or the progressives push him out because He's too old. He represents a past that they don't want to think about. For whatever reason, I said at the beginning, the progressives don't want Joe Biden. They want someone like Pete Buttigieg. They want a Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris is almost a perfect candidate because she's female and she's playing the minority card. She's not black, but she's working that minority card like crazy. Pete Buttigieg, he's a white guy, but he's gay. I think when it comes to playing the cards, Kamala Harris has him beat. Because she's female and she's playing the minority card. I think the progressives, because they have a serious weakness for victim class people, I think they're going to pick Kamala Harris. And they're going to push her hard. And creepy Uncle Joe, it's going to be tough on him. He probably should have stayed home. And that's all there is about that. Well, speaking of creepy Uncle Joe, there's somebody who has said they're not coming to his defense anytime soon. And that would be Michelle Obama. Yep. He's facing severe criticism from members of the Democratic Party for recently praising two white segregationists as examples in political civility. But speaking with Gail King on Saturday at the Essence Festival, Michelle Obama refused to comment on the brewing feud between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden as they fight for the 2020 nomination. Quote, I've been doing this rodeo for far too long. And no comment. Joe Biden stepped into some serious trouble last month when he reminisced about working closely with two Democratic segregationists to get bills passed during his rookie years in the United States Senate. He said, I was in a caucus with James O. Eastland, Biden said, reportedly in a southern accent. He never called me boy, he always called me son. Senator James Eastland, he was a Democrat from Mississippi, fervently opposed civil rights and has been referred to as the voice of the white South. Biden also held up Senator Herman Talmadge, a Democrat from Georgia, as an example of political civility, a man whom Biden described as being one of the meanest guys I ever knew. He says, well, guess what? At least there was some civility. We got things done. We didn't agree on much of anything. We got things done. We got it finished. But today you look at the other side and they're the enemy, not the opposition, the enemy. We don't talk to each other anymore. You can't disagree with him about that, because for the Democrats, anybody who's not a Democrat is the enemy. At the first Democratic Party presidential debate, Kamala Harris used Biden's comments against him when she publicly accused him on national television of being insensitive to race relations. Polls following the debate showed his lead dropping significantly. Harris said on the debate stage, quote, it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools, and she was bused to school every day, and that little girl was me. Though Biden largely refused to back down from his comments, he finally caved to the political pressure over the weekend when he expressed regret for what he had said of Eastland and Talmadge. In the same interview with King on Saturday, Michelle Obama reiterated that she and her husband will not be endorsing Joe Biden or any other candidate until after the primary has concluded. She said, Barack and I are going to support whoever wins the primary, so our primary focus is letting the primary process play out because it's very early. I mean, that's one of the things that we learned in the campaign. It is early. It's like trying to figure out who's winning the World Series on the first seven games. I mean, that's where we are right now. It is so early. And I can't disagree with her about that. I believe that that is why we're not seeing any kind of endorsement for anybody really to speak of. It's too early. It's just too early. Like I said, there's a lot of entertainment between now and next year. A lot going on. A lot to watch. So, we need to keep our finger on the pulse. understand the truth about what's going on and be honest with ourselves and our friends about what we see. And I honestly got to move out of here because time is up. God bless you. Have a great day. I will see you when I can get back in the studio. But I'll be on social media. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.